Well, I ain't got time to worry about the shape I'm in. So pack it on up and let's do it all again. I ain't trying to be the kingpin. I'm just trying to make a living. So come on, boy, let's go for another spin.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of We Write Songs podcast. Today we have Tony Camel, right? Is that how you say your name?
Camel? Yes. Yeah, just Tony like the Camel. Animal. Yeah.
Awesome. Part of Wood and Wire Band. Where are you guys located?
We're based down in Austin, Texas area.
Okay.
Central Texas.
That's a good music city.
Yeah, it is, man. It's great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Went to Austin at the University of Texas for school. And I just stuck around here all the while being a hobbyist, songwriter, singer, player the whole time. And eventually found myself a professional bluegrass musician where I stand today.
Where you stand today.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are all the members of your band, are they from that area as well? Did you meet there? How did that happen?
We met here. None of us are from the Austin area, but we've all spent a good bit of time living here. Dominic, our bass player, he was born and raised in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Trevor Smith, our banjo player, he's from Tucson. Mm-hmm. And Billy Bright, our mandolin player, is from El Paso, Texas.
Okay. So a little spread out, but.
Yeah, we just sort of all came together in this area in different ways, not all at the same time. Uh-huh. About we all met each other maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
The band formed about 7 years ago.
Okay, cool. Cool. And bluegrass is kind of infused in your band. How would you describe your sound?
Yeah, I think bluegrass is definitely the underlying theme of the band for sure. And it's got this sort of backbeat country feel to it as well.
Uh-huh.
Sort of a Texas thing, I guess, or a country music thing. Mm-hmm. Certainly not just Texas, but a country music backbeat feel. And from a songwriting perspective, we don't write about what I think people may assume or expect a bluegrass band to write about. You know, we didn't grow up in the hills of the Appalachian Mountains or, you know, back Tennessee. In Hollers or Tennessee or Virginia. We love those areas.
Uh-huh.
We've been there and it's beautiful and incredible.
I was just talking to someone about that, how all bluegrass music refers to, or at least the traditional stuff, they always refer to Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, and North Carolina.
Yeah. And
so like the
those are the zones, if you will. And that's where the forefathers of bluegrass music were. They existed, you know?
Yeah.
Bill Monroe's from Kentucky. Ralph Stanley was from Virginia. Mm-hmm. Doc Watson from North Carolina, and so on and so forth. Tennessee, that's where the main hub and the growth of bluegrass began. Mm-hmm. And so that's where most of those songs were inspired by, I guess. For us, you know, and for me, that wasn't the way we were raised, and I don't write about that kind of stuff because mm-hmm. it wouldn't be authentic, I guess.
Yeah, it's not home.
Right, it's not home. Sure.
So talking about that, we had a little episode a few weeks ago about how the past, and there was a quote by Paul McCartney where he kind of mentioned that that's our resource tank where we pull from when we're writing music. Do you all kind of bring something to the table when you're writing music, or do you kind of take turns on each song? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, yes to everything, basically. I guess I've written over the years in the existence of the band, I've written the majority of the material, but none of the songs that I have written and taken to the band have not been influenced by the band, whether from an arrangement perspective or even, you know, lyrically. Even if they don't write a single lyric, I'll write the song with, as I begin writing the song and I know it's going to be a Wood and Wire song, I'll have them all in mind. So they're involved either way, really.
So it's not just about you, kind of a.
No, not at all. And if it were, it wouldn't be cool, you know, at least not in Wood and Wire. I do stuff on my own too, but it's sort of a side thing, you know, and that kind of, it just to sort of stay inspired and it's fun to play songs alone and by myself, but it gives me another thing to write for and work on that helps fuel what we do as a band as well. But yeah, I mean, we all write about our past. Billy, I think, does a lot of writing too. Billy Bright, our mandolin player, he and I sort of are two of the most, we've written the most songs between us in the band, I think. And we both have been doing it for a long time. And his music is very, very personal. His songs are real personal, real inspired by his past and present and future, as are mine. But I don't think it's possible to be a songwriter without thinking about your past and the things you've been through, are going through, and will go through, if you will. So
yeah, that's interesting. That. The past, I mean, you can pull so many things from the past, and a lot of it is sometimes you feel like you haven't lived as adventurous of a life as you as you would like when you're trying to, you know, pull from some of your experiences to write a song and
yeah, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
But so what, you know? I mean, honestly, most people don't live super adventurous lives. Most of us don't. Those experiences that aren't so adventurous could easily be more relatable. You know, every song doesn't have to be about some momentous event or some horrible thing that happened or some great thing that happened. It can be about everyday life that everyone deals with, or a place you grew up in that may not be special to someone else, but it's special to you. You know, that's an experience in and of itself. In fact, I think in most cases, those can be the best songs, or pulling the beauty out of something that seems somewhat, you know, ugly or not exciting. Yeah. Just simple simplicity. Yeah. I think songwriters get a little caught up in being too poetic or too, I don't know what the word is. I can't think of it right now, but
I understand what you're saying, and I think that those kind of songs are the most relatable to a more broad audience because there's our guest.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Barking at the mailman. But those simple things in life, you know, a lot of the best writers out there, I think, are the ones that can pull out the details from those moments.
Yep, definitely. And if you asked about places or things of your past. I think we all have muses, if you will, things we like to write about. An example of that in our situation, in my situation, our second record, it's called The Coast. I was just feeling inspired. I grew up in Houston, but it's really close to the coast in Galveston, Texas, which is another place I sort of grew up. It was real important in my upbringing. I wrote a bunch of songs about Galveston or the coast in general, and it became a theme, you know. Then we made a whole other record, and none of the songs are about that at all. And then now I've been sort of revisiting that theme. So it ebbs and flows, you know, what you write about and why you write, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's awesome. I want to ask you about one of your songs, one of my favorite songs that I've heard from you guys. Overblown.
Sure.
What can you tell me about that song?
So here's another thing that things don't have to be so complicated, right? That's one of our most popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
The song is essentially, to make it simple, well, because it is simple, it's just about me being a guy who grew up in the South or in Texas and not being acclimated or liking the cold weather, you know? and again, I was sort of thinking about the coast and the areas of even though that was on our first record, and it was still sort of this muse that I have, is this the Gulf of Mexico and the Texas coast. Weather systems come in through Texas and the cold only lasts a couple of days and then it's gone, you know, and none of us here are used to it. So just this week we had a cold spell here and it got down into the 30s and everyone was freezing, you know, and then now in just a matter of days, it's gone. It's going to be up into the 60s again and beautiful. So yeah, I mean, I like that song a lot. And it's not about anything complicated. It's not about some deep love lost or gained, but it's just about, and it sounds kind of silly to say it. It's just about me not being acclimated or really liking cold weather. So, and you know, I tried to visualize and create pictures of bigger and broader things, of large weather systems flying across the earth, which is another thing that I like, is sort of visualizing myself as this tiny little being on this tiny little planet in a massive space, you know? So there you have it for that one, I guess.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I know when I first heard that, you mentioned Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado.
Sure.
Where I'm from is northern Utah, which definitely gets the bulk of some cold weather up there.
Yeah. But you have uses for it there. If it gets cold there and it snows, you know, people get stoked because of activities related to such things. Yeah. Here, when it happens, everyone's just freezing.
Miserable.
Yeah. I wrote that song a lot, like years before Wood and Wire formed too. So that was one of the ones that when Wood and Wire formed, we were like, you know, who's got songs? And I said, well, I got this song. It's nothing special. But then we all sort of worked on it together and it made it special. And that sort of opened up one of the earliest experiences that I had with working with a band and developing songs as a group, and inspired future songwriting of my own for the band.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's dive a little bit farther into some of your influences. What did you grow up listening to, and how did that influence you to begin songwriting and begin your musical career?
Sure. I grew up. It's changed so much over the years, and I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, you know, the Beatles or George Harrison or this was like the one thing that really inspired me and made me want to do everything I do today. It was really a variety of people, of artists, in all kinds of different genres. In high school, it was a combination of country music and psychedelic rock.
Uh-huh.
Frank Zappa. I really loved Frank Zappa. He was one of the first people that made me realize I could do whatever I want, which was the sort of the beginning of what inspired me, you know.
Uh-huh.
Was people that would do whatever they want. And then, and I just loved the crazy weirdness of his music. I still do to this day. And, then onward from that, friends of mine would show me jam bands like Fish or String Cheese. And I did like those guys. Mm-hmm. I wasn't obsessed with those guys like a lot of people were. But those bands would tease or play bluegrass songs. And String Cheese Incident had bluegrass instruments, so to speak, like fiddle and mandolin.
Uh-huh.
and would incorporate banjo from time to time. And then they'd play a song like Sitting on Top of the World or some classic, a rendition of a classic bluegrass song. And I'd kind of go, well, that sounds cool. I wonder what that is. And then I started working backwards and delving into where that music came from. When I got to college, University of Texas had a massive music library. And I would just, while I was studying, I'd go to online to the catalog and look up bluegrass records and recordings from like the Newport Folk Festival and other things, and go to the library while I was on campus and check out 40 or 50 CDs. And frankly, even though it was frowned upon, I'd dump them on my computer, rip them on my computer. And then while I'd study, I'd just listen to random bluegrass recordings. Mm-hmm. All this time, I wasn't a bluegrass player. I was just a listener. I was playing electric guitar with friends, writing songs on my own, wasn't performing at all. Then after college, I decided I wanted to learn how to play bluegrass for real, and started looking into how to flat pick and Doc Watson and stuff like that. And then long story short from there, eventually started going to bluegrass jams and joining bands and stuff like that. But, and then sort of full circle from a songwriting perspective, I discovered John Hartford, which John Hartford is one of those guys that, like Frank Zappa or, you know, I can't think of other examples off the top of my head at the moment. They write about whatever they want. And they write about really simple concepts and also really deep and complicated things. But the way that they convey them is unique, and they've come up with their own styles. And that's my thing. You know, I that's what I respect the most is our guys like John Hartford or Frank Zappa, you know, Freddie Mercury, even. That's just a recent thing that I've discovered. You know, I've always known about Queen, but I did see the movie recently and sort of rediscovered another influence of group of guys that kind of write about whatever they want and go for it, you know?
Yeah. And their arrangements too were just so far out there compared to everyone else that was big at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Super insane, right? Just crazy stuff. And so for me, my influences if you're speaking strictly from songwriters, it's those guys who aren't scared to put something out there and who just sort of write about stuff that they're feeling or seeing. It doesn't have to be super complicated. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you have complicated feelings or you're writing about a concept that's got a lot of layers. Sometimes you just write about breakfast, and that's cool too.
So. Ron Swanson would love that song.
Yeah, man, I think I'd get along with that guy.
Oh yeah, breakfast, and dark-haired women, right? Yeah,
that's right.
So, do you consider songwriting a form of an outlet for you at times?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure. I don't lean on it heavily, like I think a lot of songwriters do. Uh-huh. But it's certainly an emotional and creative outlet. I'd say more so creative than emotional, but I've got songs that, especially on this last record, that deal with, you know, things like the death of my father, and my grandfather, and they don't specifically mention their deaths, and they're not specifically about their deaths, but they're about them, you know, and what they meant to me when they were living. So, in writing about that when I did, it did feel good, you know, and it didn't, but it wasn't like, and it did release some things, I guess, but you know, I feel like I faced those kind of things head on when they happened, and, I don't have pent up, sadness about it necessarily. So my approach to it is more of a nostalgic kind of thing.
Yeah. Looking back at the the times you had with them and the happy stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, how they influenced my life now and mm-hmm. and will in the future, I guess, or how they would perceive in one specific instance this tune, Out With the Tide. It's the last tune on our most recent record, North of Despair. Uh-huh. It's about my dad. It's about death in general and my dad and what he would have thought of certain weirdness going on in the world today, but in a more subtle way, I think. And
yeah,
it's not a political song by any means at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess an example of that, the second verse goes, how does it go? See, I can't think of it off the top of my head. It goes, so my dad would say, you know, be modest and honest and do what you say. So that's the first line. It says, be modest and honest and do what you say. Words of my old man back in those days. These fast talking heads and their noise on the tube don't have a goddamn clue. So, you know, that's sort of a subtle way of saying it other than being like, I really miss my father. He was a good guy or something like that. You know, it's, I guess, a more interesting way of saying those kind of things.
Yeah, that's that right there. From my perspective, is definitely the art of songwriting and
sure.
And you know, making something without saying it so straightforward, you know, making it into a form of poetry and something, you know, softer to the ears, more of a song than a conversation, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's awesome. I really like that insight with your music, and let's talk quickly about the award that you were just nominated for.
Right. So one morning, as our bass player put it, one morning in December, a Grammy nomination fell from the sky. Mm-hmm. We woke up on the morning of December 7th to the news that our most recent record, North of Despair, is the name of the record, was nominated for the best bluegrass album and at the Grammys. And so we were, needless to say, very surprised. We didn't expect it at all. And that sort of set forth a whirlwind of a couple of months of basically being forced to constantly talk about ourselves, mm-hmm. which is something we're a little weirded out by, but understand is a necessary part of this business.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Our wives were super, super stoked. We all got dressed up and we went to Los Angeles, went to the Grammys. We didn't win. The Traveling McCurries won. That's totally fine by us. Those are good friends of ours, and they deserved to win and deserved to be there. But the best part about it was that it brought together our families and friends around us. The record was, you know, inspired by family, and it was made with friends and family. The cover of the record was designed by our good friend, Christina Smith, who happens to be our banjo player's wife. She's a brilliant artist and designed the cover. Wow. And it's really a really cool cover. And also Trevor and I, and we sort of brought that first full circle. She makes chain stitch embroidered clothing for a company called Fort Lonesome here in Austin.
Uh-huh.
She made me a jacket and Trevor a full suit for the red carpet. And,
yeah, those looked awesome.
Thank you. It was, it's funny, like, I'm not a flashy guy, and like, I was a little nervous about wearing something kind of flashy, but when I put that jacket on, I felt like $1 million, honestly. It was really fun. And, we went and we linked up with, the International Bluegrass Music Association, the Blues Foundation, and the Folk Alliance for an event, the day before the Grammys in Los Angeles. And it was just really neat to come together with other musicians and other organizations for the purpose of promoting music in general.
Mm-hmm.
It was really neat to be there. And I didn't know how I was going to feel about the Grammys. I think awards are a little weird, mm-hmm. Even though I'm honored to be a part of it. But I walked away from that feeling really positive, and the whole time was really inspiring to me. And I was really honored and happy to be there. And then at the after party, we got to watch TLC and En Vogue perform.
Wow.
Which was like really, really, really fun and cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, that's a huge milestone for, you know, any band. That's just to be nominated for something that big. It goes a long ways.
It does. It still doesn't feel real to me. And uh-huh. I think the guys can say the same. And then, you know, it's over now. And it's time for us to move on and work harder because now there's a lot expected of us and there's a lot expected of ourselves in all areas. We want to play more. We want to play better gigs and we want to present a better show. So we're going to invest in bringing a sound guy with us to make sure we come across the same way strongly every time and invest in ourselves as musicians and level up and work harder in all aspects. And songwriting is one of those things, but we don't want to force the issue and none of us are going to force any kind of release just to release something. Any songwriter you interview will say there's sort of a fine line between writing when you're inspired and sort of writing as a, when it's time to like work and you may not feel much inspiration. If you force a song when you're not feeling it, it can be really not that good, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that like when you feel this like wave of creativity coming, you get that, you ride that wave till the end and that's when you really buckle down and try to write really hard, even if you're tired and even if it's not feeling super inspired. Because even in those periods of inspiration, the inspiration ebbs and flows. Like you'll feel real inspired for a few hours and things are just coming and then it'll slow down and come back and slow down and come back. But I think during those periods of general inspiration, you buckle down and you work really hard and you write as much as you can, even if it's not that good. Because you can find little tidbits out of it, you know. But we're not going to force anything. We're not going to force any releases. We're going to do what we've done, which is work hard as it comes and just enjoy it too, and stage test the songs and record them whenever they're ready.
And I can say, as a listener of your music, you know, that's how how I can feel when I listen to you guys' music is connected. It's relatable, and you know, there's something in there for me as a listener, you know, and that's, I think that you guys are doing a really good job with what you're doing.
Thanks, Mitch. I really appreciate that. It means a lot.
Yeah, no problem. So Tony, with Wood & Wire, where can the listeners go to find your music and a little more about you?
They can go to our website is easy, woodandwireband.com, or just Google Wood & Wire. Our Instagram handle is at Wood and Wire Band. And we're on Facebook and everything. I think Instagram's probably the best. Facebook is really good too. That's the best way to stay caught up. We travel a lot and both of those mediums will let you know if we're coming to your area.
And your music, you got music on Spotify, iTunes, all that, right?
Yeah, Wood and Wire has music on all the digital outlets. I even have a solo song on Spotify under the name Tony Camel. It's K-A-M-E-L is the last name. It's hard to find. And I've got an Instagram too, Tony Camel Music. You can find all the music we do out there. We try to put it out there as easily as we possibly can.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show. Go check out Tony Camel and Wood & Wire and give them some love maybe go check them out on tour as well.
Hey, thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. I look forward to hearing it. I ain't trying to be the kingpin. I'm just trying to make a living.